Welcome back to the Villain Edit. I am Monty Ashley.
And I'm Ryus Hall.
Hi, Ryus.
Hey.
So, what's been going on with you?
Well, looks like got a couple weeks of TV to talk about.
That's all that happened with you? Let us into your inner life.
I read a pretty terrible book.
Oh.
The Kill Riff by David Chow.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like super fun.
Yeah, that wasn't so great. I recorded some episodes of Don't Read the Latin, another podcast upon which I am on.
Okay, and that's all that's been going on with you? Well, I saw Hamilton, and I thought it was really good.
Oh,
apparently,
yeah.
It's a very forgettable experience for some people.
I didn't forget about it, I just didn't want to steal your thunder, because I know how excited you are about seeing it.
The look of terror in your eyes when I'm asking you, have you done anything? You're thinking, have I done anything?
No, it's just that all I could think of is, well, my scooter got busted up, and now it's in the shop. That kind of sucked.
Well,
I did see Hamilton, and I did like it. And I do remember most of it.
Crossover with the podcast Pod for Ham, where we went Trek, not Ryus and I.
No, I'm not allowed.
A very rotating number of people went track by track through the original cast album. So there are, I think, 45 episodes of that. But what I really want to talk about is Oak Island. Can I just get straight to Oak Island?
Yeah, well, I'm like two. I have not heard about Oak Island for a couple of weeks. What is going on there? Did they find that treasure hut?
No.
Aww.
Also, there was never a treasure hut.
You don't know.
Okay, that's true. They have not found a treasure hut. Last week was the most nothing happening episode of this show, which is defined by nothing ever happening.
Wow. What didn't happen? Or what? I'd like to ask what did happen, but that doesn't make sense. So,
well,
tell me about the episode.
You know Ancient Aliens, how the structure of that show works. It has the same announcer as Oak Island.
Right.
It's basically just an overview of, here's a weird thing. Here's somebody who says it was aliens. Then the announcer says, aliens? Could it be? Well, this was that except for Templars. We got no new Oak Island footage at all. Just people who wrote books about the Templars blaming everything on the Templars. And the announcer describing what historically happened with the Templars and what some people think happened after that involving the Holy Grail and the Ark of the Covenant and all that stuff.
Yes, and possibly aliens.
Yep, and that was the entire episode. Just, we're going all in on the Templars. How dare you accuse us of that being because there's a Templar show on the History Channel.
That we're advertising heavily.
Yes. Now, one thing that really occurred to me during this just hour of nonsense is the only real Templar connection they have right now is that lead cross, which does look sort of like this carving in the Templar prison they visited.
A little, but come on, it's two lines crossing each other.
And a circle on top.
And
they keep showing this one shot of Rick Lagina studying that carving. And also they have a shot that shows the cross next to the carving in sort of a split screen so we can compare the sizes. And it's weird that they got these shots of the carving so clearly before they even knew they were going to find a cross that looks just like it.
Well, they shot a lot of the carvings in there.
They did, but there's so many carvings. And this has not only, like I say, a discussion of them looking at it, because it's right by that tree of life they were talking about. But there's just a flawless head-on shot for them to use. And I am very suspicious of the coincidence that the carving that they're find looks like is something that they had so much coverage of.
Monty.
So that's how I feel about that.
So cynical. Such a cold-hearted cynic.
Yep. And then in the more recent episode, they're back to trying to dig a hole, and they bumped into something, and they don't know what. But this is the thing that chewed 11 of the 36 teeth off the drill, so obviously they can't keep drilling. And they drained it, and they dropped a high-tech camera down and looked at some mud, and then water flooded in up to the water table, because that's what the water table is.
Right.
And...
did they blame that on the secret underground drains?
Yes. According to the announcer, that this is just like it happened earlier when people were digging a hole and water flooded in, and this was later found to be because of drain tunnels that were dug to the cove, and it's not.
No, it's the water table. It's just there. Sometimes you push it back for a couple minutes, but it's made of water, so it comes back in.
More interestingly, nope, I got nothing. Nothing of interest happened. There was commercials for Forged in Fire, which is back on March 13th.
Woo!
But the episode that it was airing was not a new episode of Forged in Fire.
We thought it was, and we were very excited. But it was an old episode, and we still watched it because we like that show.
It was the episode that I remember pretty clearly where the guy was making an axe, and in the handle phase just added a bunch of junk to it without improving the cutting.
Yeah, that was ugly.
And then the final challenge, he was supposed to make a chakram, which is that Frisbee Xena uses.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just added some extra wrought iron stuff to make it heavier and worse. And that's when we really started to learn that the judges on Fortune Fire want something that is effective more than anything.
Yeah.
Doug Marqueta does not want to hold a weapon that looks cool but doesn't work.
Well, who does? Movie actors,
how,
I guess.
Well, me. How cool are we talking about?
Oh, fair enough.
Like,
we do have some big cardboard swords that are pretty awesome looking,
exactly,
laying around the house.
So, Oak Island, still dragging on. Forge and Fire, thank God, coming back.
Yay!
What can you tell me about a television show? Can you tell me about a Project Runway or anything?
Well, we haven't had a Project Runway for a while.
That's true.
It wasn't on because of something. I'm going to call it, say, Olympics.
I'm not sure the Lifetime channel did that much Olympics coverage, but you could be right.
Could be. So we're going to say Project Runway was not on because of the Olympics or something. And then it came back tonight with an avant-garde challenge.
Now, that's the challenge where nobody knows what the rules are, right?
Avant-garde is supposed to be... yeah. Like, there's somebody said, oh, it's supposed to be like run, like clothing art.
Right. I know you're supposed to push it very hard and make something exciting and original, but don't do pageant or costume.
Right.
Even though there have been seasons where everybody's avant-garde look involved chicken wire to support the big dramatic swoops that were...
no, that was only that one, I think. I've only seen one chicken wire used once, and it was on Project Runway for that cupcake dress that didn't have arms that was amazing.
I'm thinking of the couple of years where there were so many huge swoops coming off the shoulders.
Oh, yeah. I don't think those were reinforced with chicken wire, though.
All right.
This week, instead of chicken wire, they used buckram.
Yeah. A couple of times, it just didn't look good. It was just kind of like a panel of cardboard sticking out.
Yeah, buckram is basically those plaster-soaked bandages, except with fabric in them a little, except with fabric. Make hats out of it.
And Josh used hot glue, not the way I would, which is to hold a dress together.
No, he was going for more of a bukkake look, I believe.
Oh, gross.
Well.
He claimed he was trying to make it look like snow. Eventually, it just kind of looked like this weird lace, because he made a whole lot of it.
Yeah.
And the judges liked that look okay, but they hated everything underneath it.
Yeah, he used some brown fabrics that looked like upholstery. Specifically an upholstery from Grandma's couch in the 70s. That beige, brown, no good.
Yeah.
It was not good.
Isaac Mizrahi and Alyssa Milano were not fans of it. But I didn't care what they'd say because there was a special guest judge.
And that special guest judge was RuPaul Charles.
I was talking about Jesse Tyler Ferguson. Hi, Jesse.
Hi, Jesse.
I like him as a judge. It turned out he's a good guest judge on So You Think You Can Dance, and he's a good guest judge here. RuPaul is the best judge.
Yeah.
RuPaul has...
He's done some judging.
RuPaul has a better television show than this one, on which he judges people. It was interesting, though, on that one, I feel like he doesn't really have to argue his point that much. He doesn't have to get consensus.
On his show?
Yeah.
No.
On Drag Race.
The ultimate arbiter.
But here, we got to see him arguing, saying, well, here's why I liked this, here's what I didn't like about
this. Yeah, I like that. It's like, I didn't like the hemline of that. It falls in the wrong place. I felt like that shoulder needed something coming up to balance the way that the hemline is on that side. Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was a good argument.
That judges panel looked like more fun than usual. There was a lot of laughing, and I feel like they showed almost more of that than of the sewing.
Yeah.
And I thought that was cool. So, although Josh was snippy at the judges, he was saved, and Kimberly's out.
Yes.
And Stanley won, leaving some number of competitors.
Right.
Probably like 4 or 5, so we should be getting close to the end, I guess.
Yeah, we gotta be getting close to the end.
Yeah. You got any shows you want to tell me about?
I just told you about Project Runway, or started to.
Okay. Then I guess
it's your turn to tell me about a show.
All right, then. How about The Amazing Race?
Amazing Race? Oh, yeah. They had to do a race where they had to choose between frogs and elephants, and people actually chose the frogs.
Yeah, I have to assume...
Why would you do that?
The challenge doesn't go into a lot of detail, but one of the challenges was catch 20 frogs while up to your hips in a muddy rice paddy. And the other challenge was measure this elephant and then feed this elephant treats and ride this elephant to the next thing, which is obviously what you should do.
Yes, obviously you want to measure an elephant and then give it treats.
In fact, I'm going to say
it was an elephant sanctuary, so there were like very happy, well cared for elephants.
Yeah, they were friendly. I'm going to say that this is a rule of The Amazing Race. And as far as I'm concerned, there are 3 rules of The Amazing Race. Rule 1, learn how to drive stick. Rule 2, read your clue again. And rule 3, always pick the elephant task.
Always the elephant task. It's going to be nice.
It's not going to be difficult. I remember a few seasons ago, there were those girls.
Those girls who got sent home after the elephant task, but they were so happy that they had done it. It was like the highlight of their trip.
And their task was shoveling elephant poop, but they were so happy to be...
They also had to help the elephants have a bath.
Yeah.
They had to wash the elephants down and give them a bath, and they loved that.
Always do the elephant task.
Yeah, always take the elephant. That's a secret rule of Big Brother.
So we've got 2 weeks of The Amazing Race, and that's 4 hours of television.
Yeah.
There was, it's Amazing Race stuff.
Lucas lost his passport, had to get another one. Oh, that happened.
That was brutal, because that happened at the beginning of a 2-hour episode. And then at the end of 2 hours, that team was eliminated. So in the first minute of the program, you're like, oh, well, they're screwed. And yes, they were screwed. And that was the whole thing. I liked that episode because they had to eat gross stuff, including a frog with bones in it.
Mm.
Which let me observe that if we took the bones out, it wouldn't be crunchy.
It wouldn't be crunchy.
So,
they also had to go to the Endurance Village and milk a camel. So they got a lot of cool animal action in that episode.
Yeah.
There was a camel to milk. There was an elephant to feed and ride. The elephant one involved a lot of math. I probably would have failed at it and been thrown out of the race.
That's what I was there for. It's a team thing.
Oh, okay. Well, you do the math and then I will pet the elephants. Yeah.
In the finale... It was down to 3 teams, and I had decided I was rooting for Cody and Jessica, Team Big Brother. I said, I'm on their side. I don't hate anyone, but I like these two, and they won. So good for them. That was the end of the season.
Yep.
I still like Amazing Race. It's kind of formulaic.
It's kind of formulaic, but it's entertaining.
Yeah.
Big Brother was not my favorite team because I'm biased against them because they seem to be people who just go around being on reality shows.
Yeah.
I don't care for that.
That's fair.
As a life strategy.
What do you got? You got any...
We got 2 weeks of Drag Race.
One
of those weeks involves our favorite thing, Snatch Game.
I do like Snatch Game.
I do.
Snatch Game is where you really get to see... who's quick on their feet, who's good at improvising, and also who has the sense to plan. Because speaking of having rules for shows, one of the rules for Drag Race has to be to have a plan for Snatch Game.
Yeah. You don't just go in and say suddenly at the last minute, oh my god, I'm going to be somebody. And like Chi-Chi, bless her heart, decided to be Maya Angelou.
And immediately misspelled Maya Angelou on her name card. Did not have an answer to the straight line question, why does the caged bird sing.
Didn't even know why does the caged bird sing meant. Just didn't know anything about Maya Angelou except that she is an African-American lady and a poet.
And I'm not saying you have to know who Maya Angelou is. I'm saying you have to do someone as a character who you do know something about.
Exactly. If you're going into Snatch Game, you do your research in advance. You say, I'm going to be Stevie Nicks, and this is what Stevie Nicks is, and this is what's funny about her, and I'm going to exaggerate it.
Yeah, Shangela was doing Jennifer Lewis, who is on Black-ish. I don't know who Jennifer Lewis is, but Shangela was very funny.
Right.
Like,
well, Asia was really good, too. She was doing Crystal LaBeija, who I had no idea who that was. It turns out she's from a drag documentary from the 60s.
Called The Queen.
Called The Queen, which I have not seen. I have seen Vapors, the drag queen's ball.
Yeah.
And I have seen Paris is Burning, but I had no idea.
But that's the thing. These people know that it really doesn't matter if I know their references. Does Rue get the reference? And of course, mm-hmm. that's how Ben took home another Snatch Game win by doing Paul Lynde. Now, I don't normally approve of doing male characters as Snatch Game characters, even though Kennedy won Snatch Game by doing Little Richard. But Paul Lynde is so good on game shows, although, of course, more of a Hollywood Squares than mm-hmm. a Match Game thing, that Ben was able to do lots of really funny jokes in character as Paul Lynde, starting right off by looking at RuPaul and saying, I thought somebody gift-wrapped Flip Wilson.
Great joke, and also period appropriate.
Yep.
Flip Wilson and Paul Lynde were contemporaries.
And as it happens,
and Flip Wilson did a drag character.
Yeah.
Like, Geraldine Jones.
I do know who Flip Wilson is, but Ben was correctly not worrying about that. The only question, will RuPaul get this Flip Wilson joke?
Yes, Ru will.
RuPaul loves a Flip Wilson joke.
I felt like Bebe, who was doing a Grace Jones, was terrible.
Looked okay.
But looked good and had a good accent.
And
but didn't capture anything Grace Jonesy.
Yeah. And Trixie face planted completely by doing
RuPaul.
Poor
Trixie. Don't do Ru.
Well, you can do Ru, but you have to be funny. And it seemed like Trixie had two hooks she was going with, which is pimp your own products constantly, which is, you know, an approved roast RuPaul joke. And then also was trying to give RuPaul-style critiques during the game show. For instance, BB did a joke that didn't work, and then Trixie said, your Miss Jones was graceless.
Yeah.
Which wasn't funny enough to not come off as mean, and now you're owning the awkward silence.
Yeah, it's that was a problem. So who went home that week?
Well, we came down to Ben and Shangela in the top. Ben's fourth straight win, Shangela's second win out of four possibilities. There was a lot of the standard negotiation.
Who was on the bottom?
On the bottom was Trixie and Chi-Chi.
All right.
Shangela speaks with Chi-Chi. Shangela speaks with Trixie. Trixie says, if you save me, I'll be totally loyal to you, because Shangela is totally into this Daenerys Targaryen thing. Chi-Chi says, well, you know, do whatever you want, because...
Yeah, Chi-Chi's like, you know, I am... Chi-Chi knew she was over her head last week and the week before, and she's like, look, if I gotta go, I gotta go.
Then there was a runway
And then Trixie cried on the runway, and that made me very sad because I love Trixie so much. Poor Trixie, I'm sorry.
There was a runway that went about 15 seconds and was over immediately.
Snatch Game, I think, ran long, and they didn't want to edit it too much because there were some super funny parts.
The lip sync was I Kissed a Girl, the Katy Perry song. I thought they both did really funny, good lip sync. I really like it when the lip syncers interact, and
there was a lot of that, and they kissed at the end, and it was super sweet.
And they had to. You have to kiss.
It was a little cheek kiss. It was so cute.
At one point, Ben was trying to dive between Shangela's legs while Shangela was throwing Altoids at Ben.
Yeah, that was fun.
Then the big dramatic announcement was that they're both of them have to eliminate someone instead of just the winner. They both won. And they both picked Chi-Chi.
Yeah.
Who gave a very gracious goodbye speech, which is nice after Milk and Thorgy were both real whiners.
Yep.
And now Trixie is in tears. Then we come to the next episode, the Andy Warhol Challenge.
Oh, the Andy Warhol Challenge. Okay. First of all, I felt that the challenge was not great.
How so?
Well, their challenge for Andy Warhol was inspired by the Campbell's soup can. So they had to design a soup can reflecting their drag point of view and then wear it on the runway. Soup cans were all the same, and they just were, and they had to just design the printing that goes on the soup can.
Yeah. Now, as you know, all drag concepts can be boiled down to a soup can.
Boiled down. Oh, I see what you're doing.
Boy. So, yeah, the cans didn't mean anything. Aja had candy-flavored soup, which I believe is just cereal.
Yeah.
Then they had their Disco Queen Couture.
Right. Their second look had to be something that someone would wear to Studio 54. Now, I've seen a lot of pictures of Studio 54, like hundreds.
Yeah.
It's a thing. Sometimes they had a big fake white horse so they could sit on that if they wanted.
That's because of Bianca Jagger, right?
Yes.
Fun fact, our stupid dog is named after Bianca Jagger.
Is she?
You said she was.
Oh.
How many Biancas are there to name her after?
Bianca just means small and white in Italian. I didn't know the dog very well when I named her. I would have named her something else.
I always tell people she's named after either Bianca Jagger or Bianca the Zsa Zsa Gabor mouse in The Rescuers. Yeah. Depending on... Well, how I was going to say...
Depending on how she's acting at the time.
I was going to say depending on how I want to impress them, but I can't imagine anyone being impressed by
either of those, really.
At any rate, they did Studio 54 looks, and they were varying degrees of realistic and or impressive. The top two were Trixie. Hooray, Trixie! Back on top!
Yay!
And Bebe. The safe two were Ben and Kennedy, and they now have drama where Ben keeps being shown whining about how hard it is to select somebody to go home every week because you keep winning. And Kennedy says, do not complain about the way you keep winning. Nobody feels bad for you about that.
Yeah. Things that happened was that with the disco looks, Asia's look was a 60s look.
Yeah.
It was very much a hippie lady from the 60s and not from the 70s, so that was a problem. And she said that she based it on someone. I don't remember the name of the lady she said it based it on, but that was a character from the 60s. So Rue was not pleased with that.
Yeah.
Kennedy looked better than I've ever seen her look. And I really honestly felt that her costume was the best and most Studio 54 looking. But I was worried because she had on a lot of gold eye glitter and it didn't look like eye safe glitter. It was giant craft glitter looking stuff. If you get that craft glitter in your eye, you can lose your eye. So do not use that anymore.
I will say that while they were showing off their disco dresses, everyone had to do a voiceover that was kind of a Mad Libs of name dropping.
Yeah.
The only one I liked was Ben, who claimed to have run into the Taco Bell Chihuahua, who dragged me into his limo and went to see Baby Jessica's party at the bottom of a well.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. She went to the Vatican and met the Taco Bell Chihuahua.
Yeah.
I like that touch.
Yeah, because they were given a list. It was obviously, I went to the blank and met blank, and they took me to a party with blank at blank that they had to fill in. Yeah.
So, like I say, Trixie and Baby were in top. Ben and Kennedy were safe. The bottom two were Aja and Shangela. Now, I'll remind you, in the previous episode, Trixie had promised fealty to Shangela. And now, if Trixie wins, Trixie could decide if Shangela goes home. Why are you looking at me like that? We just described this.
Huh? Yeah. Because I wrote down two completely different people in the tops and bottoms.
No, you just wrote them in that direction. These are the top two right here, Trixie and Bebe. And these are the bottom two, Aja and Shangela.
Okay.
The lip sync song was a Diana Ross song, which any fool will immediately be able to tell you BB is going to kill.
Yeah, and Aja is not.
Again, Aja was in the bottom. Trixie was in the top, going against BB. Love Trixie. Trixie's natural aesthetic is not very Diana Ross-like.
No.
So BB won and eliminated Aja, which is a shame, but I think Aja did great this season.
Yeah, I think she did great. She looked amazing. She's learned so much more about putting on makeup in the past year, probably because she's been doing a lot more shows.
Also had her face redone a lot.
Also had some facial surgery. I'm not generally in favor of that, but if she can afford it and it makes her happy, go for it.
Well, it's her job, right?
Yeah.
I liked Aja last season, but she didn't get to do much. This time, I think she really solidified herself. And then at the end of the episode, Chad and Alaska were on the runway with three eliminated contestants, two of whom were pretty clearly Aja and Chi-Chi, and the third of whom could be Morgan, Thorgy, or Milk.
Yeah, I don't know who the third one was. They had very narrow wrists, but Aja's got a lot of hand and arm tattoos, so it was easy to spot her.
And Chi-Chi is the only African-American person that's been eliminated so far this season.
Yeah, so it was easy to tell from their hands who those might be. The third one was somebody very pale with no tattoos. Could have been Milk. I don't think it was Thorgy because Thorgy's really tall. Thorgy's a giant.
Yeah. So that catches us up with All-Stars. They did announce the list of people who will be in RuPaul's Drag Race Season 10. I do not recognize any of the names. So
I don't either, but I didn't see the names. I just saw the pictures. So what do we got?
We're just going quick. We got someone called Asia O'Hara, Aquaria, Blair St. Clair, Dusty Ray Bottoms, Eureka O'Hara.
I know who that is.
That's two O'Haras. Are they drag related?
I don't know. They might be from House of O'Hara.
Calorie Kardashian Williams, Cameron Michaels, Mayhem Miller.
I think that's a roller girl.
Ms. Cracker, Monet Exchange, Monique Hart,
The Vixen.
Vanessa Vanji Mateo, presumably from the House of Mateo.
Or the city of San Mateo.
And Yuhua Hamasaki. And I probably pronounced Yuhua wrong.
Yuhua. Is that a breed of dog?
So we're going to know more about them before the season starts. And we'll probably have a special episode just going through all the videos we looked up of them.
Yeah, we're going to do that. Everybody... So prepare for that before the season. We always like to do our season starter episode. Who do you think's going to win All-Stars?
Boy, that is a good question. I don't think Ben's going to win.
I want Ben to win, but...
I want Ben to win. Ben is my favorite.
Ben or Trixie are my favorites.
I think Trixie has a shot. I think the editing so far suggests Trixie pulling her shit together and going to the top. But I cannot... First of all, Michelle Visage does not seem to like Ben. This week's critique was, I keep waiting for you to fail. And you weren't great this week. And really, you have to be amazing to impress me. And then Ross Matthews said, we're so used to you being dazzling. So even if you give us 100%, I want to see 120 for... you.
Jeez, that's horrible.
So that seems like unfair expectations. And if Ben is ever in the bottom, these other fools have to just take him out.
And if Trixie were to win, say, that would have happened a while back, right?
Yeah.
So maybe that's why the Trixie and Katja show... came to an end. Although Trixie said, could have been a contributing factor to why Katja decided to leave drag for a while.
It could be. I will also point out that they just came out with some Funko Pop RuPaul figures, and it's RuPaul, the statue of RuPaul that you get when you're eliminated.
Yeah.
And Trixie.
Huh. Well, that's odd.
Now, Trixie does have her own show, so, you know, certainly, just on the merits, a famous drag queen among...
Sure, but you don't see Jinx getting one or anyone that's won in the past.
So that's all I'm saying. So, what about Ink Master, though? What about Ink Master, though?
We've had a couple weeks of Ink Master, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, my notes on last night's on the one we watched last night are minuscule because I was sort of sleeping.
Well, what about the week before that, though? You remember the one the week before that?
Was that, adaptability. That was the adaptability challenge where the team captains had to do a tattoo under someone's chin.
Yeah, because as you know, under the chin is the worst place to get tattooed, just like everywhere else.
Just like the ribs and the elbows.
And the eyelids and the bottom of the feet.
Well, I kind of agree that maybe the eyelids and the and the ribs.
So at this point in the show, I'm sick of Josh and Daniel more than anything. Josh is the big, bald, mouthy guy who cackles with glee when his constant trolling is responded to.
Oh, yeah, I hate that
and
guy.
Daniel is the young kid who
is trying to grow up to be Josh.
Yeah. First of all,
they're the same guy.
Daniel said he didn't do pixels in the pixelization challenge because he hates checkers.
Also, he said in the pixelation challenge, well, who's to say that the way I see pixels is wrong? I think they're round.
Oh, my God, this kid.
This idiot.
Now, I was mad about that because later we have people discussing about whether they were playing checkers or chess. And I wanted that to come around to Daniel saying he hates checkers. At any rate, the challenge was zombie tattoos and... Fame won with this cool vampire.
Oh, yeah, that was a cool vampire. It was very spooky looking.
Daniel was sent to the bottom because of a lot of skin trauma that he caused, but the judges do not care about that much. We're in a spot where when the coaches or anybody in the house says who should go home, it's based solely on who's the most annoying.
Yeah, it's and on this show, that could be anybody.
Yeah, the judges don't care. You were picked to be annoying to each other.
The producer chose you for your annoyingness quotient. Don't disappoint us.
The person who went home was Lil D.
Lil D.
Because he did a sort of zombie Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, Lil D is an old school biker tattooer guy. He's way behind the times on what people are doing today. And
he just isn't an Ink Master style tattooer.
Right. There's nothing wrong with the kind of tattoos he does.
Yeah, he's very good at applying ink, but not great at illustration. And this show requires ridiculous illustration all the time. Now, the next episode was about consistency. Now, this was the one where each team has to tattoo one canvas.
That's right. This was I actually really liked all of the tattoos in this challenge.
So each canvas is going to get two tattoos at the same time. One is an animal, and the other is the skeleton of that animal.
Right.
And we're testing consistency to see how consistent the entire team can be. So first they had to design two tattoos that looked like the same animal, although one doesn't have skin.
Right. So they basically, what they did was they drew the animal, then they traced the animal and just drew the bones inside the outline.
Or they went and found a skeleton and then outlined it. One of the teams had to do a saber-toothed tiger. Now, Josh was worried about finding a skeleton for an extinct animal, but you pointed out that's actually the easiest thing to find.
Yeah, you're not going to find a drawing of a live saber-toothed tiger. Frazetta has done some great ones, though.
Yeah. Now, I did not like their skeleton of the saber-toothed tiger, because it had too many ribs.
It did. It had like six or eight floating ribs down there at the bottom.
Yeah, its ribs went all the way down to its pelvis.
Yeah.
Which does not appear to be the case for...
Oh, no. I looked up the skeletons while we were looking at the tattoos to make sure. And no, those are just some extra ribs.
Yeah. So this was interesting because this was the only tattoos we had. The only thing we got were these three tattoos done by the entire team. Then the judges picked which team won, and they picked the ram. That was a ram kind of facing off with a skeleton ram. And
it was okay.
I liked it. The judges complained about it not being very dynamic, but that...
It's two rams about to headbutt each other. I mean,
primal.
That's pretty dynamic.
So the other two teams made a saber tooth and a fox. I liked the fox one the best.
I did like the fox one. I felt like its nose should have been pointier.
Yeah.
It looked, looked a little bit like a kitty, but they did color it red and orange.
Yeah.
And so you could tell it was a fox.
Well, I like the skeleton a lot because they had the outline of the fox colored in orange.
And then the skeleton inside the outline. Yeah. And it looked great. I felt like, yeah, I really liked that one.
But that team did not win. And then what had to happen was the coaches of the two losing teams, that's Steve or DJ, each of them had to pick a guy on their team who they felt did the worst in this challenge. And then that person would go face-to-face against the person from the other team.
Right.
Now, Steve picked the guy that did the worst.
Right.
DJ picked Josh, who was the best tattooer in the house.
Hmm.
His argument was, well, Josh did the drawing, so the reason we didn't win has to be because of the drawing. So, this guy. And everybody in the house just mocked that, because obviously what he did was he looked at the actual rules of this competition, not what he was told to do.
Right.
So somebody from my team is going to face off against somebody from your team, and the loser goes home. I want to keep my team here, so I'm sending my best guy.
Yeah.
And that's what he did, and Josh won. Although, both the people in the bottom did a good job. That was those tigers, the black and white tigers.
Oh, yeah, they had a black and white photorealistic tiger challenge that was pretty nice.
Yeah, this season, I think they've had really good tattoos.
Yep. Even the tattoos that have lost my, as you know, because I say it a lot, my criteria a lot of this is, are the people who volunteered to come on and get tattoos going to be sad for the rest of their lives because they have a shitty tattoo?
Right.
I mean a bad tattoo. I'm sorry.
We already...
Language.
Yeah, that's what you should be worried about, not for describing that dress as bukkake.
Sorry. Okay, well, we're getting... All right, well, we're getting a fucking parental language advisory on this.
I'm clicking the explicit tag.
Click the explicit tag. See if I care.
So that wraps up Ink Master. They're still grinding away.
They're still grinding away and digging into people's flesh. And it's got to be over soon, right?
I don't think so. There's still like 8 people in it.
Good news is that Face Off has been renewed and will be starting up again, I think, in April.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that.
And, of course, a new regular drag race is coming. And Glammaster starts next
week. I can't wait to see if Glammaster is good.
What do you bet? Give us a preview of it. Tell people why they should also be watching Glammaster.
It seems like it's a competitive makeup show. But it also seems to have a lot of face painting, like body painting style face painting. I'm not sure what they're trying to achieve. Editorial looks, maybe they'll call it. I don't know. But it's a lot of people with a lot of stuff glued to their face by professionals. And as an amateur who frequently glues things to my face, I'm very much looking forward to it.
Excellent. Well done. And it's hosted by Laverne Cox.
Oh, yes.
And unless you have anything you want to tell us about My Big Fat Fabulous Life...
Not really. They went to Hawaii. They're having a great time.
Oh, I have something to tell you about My Big Fat Fabulous Life. Because I was in the room for about half that episode.
Uh-huh.
They're in Hawaii, right? And the big drama is, will Buddy make it? Because Buddy isn't with them. They're instead in this hotel that is clearly here because of product placement.
Right. Buddy had to go to rehab. They want him to join them in Hawaii, but he just got out of rehab. So he wants to make sure that he has a sober coach with him.
Yeah. So half the episode is them saying, oh, Buddy isn't here. I hope Buddy makes it. And the other half is saying, wow, what an amazing, huge room we have been given. And what a wonderful view. I sure do like this amazing hotel. And then we cut to a shot of the hotel sign.
Yeah.
And then we go to commercial. And in the coming up segments before every commercial break are shots of Whitney talking to Buddy.
Buddy, I'm so glad you could make it. It has ruined the suspense of the show.
What are you doing?
What are you thinking, network? Yeah, that is pretty
so
sad.
That was infuriating.
But Buddy made it, and he got a sober coach who can't appear on camera because they have to be anonymous. But
Did Whitney finish that 8K that her father forced her into?
No, that's this week.
Oh, very exciting.
That'll be Tuesday night.
Awesome. All right. Do we have any other plugs? Because we plugged some stuff at the top of the show just to confuse people. I am on the most recent episode of The Incomparable, where we talk about the very bad science fiction movie Cosmic Man. Sorry,
there will be a live Incomparable podcast from Emerald City Comic Con. Oh, yeah. I don't know if you're on that.
I am not. I will be in the audience of the Emerald City Comic Con Inconceivable episode. The Inconceivable is the game show created and run by Dan Morin, and we are at 6:30 somewhere on Thursday at ECCC. Thank you for reminding me.
That's good. I will also be attending ECCC, and just because I like it.
Yeah. All right. I think that runs us out of things to say. What do you think?
I think we're done here.
We're Totes Dyslex!
Totes Dyslex!